This morning's responsive reading came from Psalm 57, and if you would like to join us with an open Bible, please do so, and we invite you to do as well, to have an open Bible in front of you. Psalm 57, according to my edition that I'm reading from here from the pulpit, a much larger print to help me, there's a little note just above the text, and it says that this is a Psalm of David that he composed when he fled from Saul while hiding in a cave. And there are times and seasons when we wish, because of our adversaries, that we too can run and find solace, comfort, and shelter hiding in a cave. I've entitled this, A Cry for Mercy. A Cry for Mercy. Now, before we go any further, let's make a distinction between two attributes or two things that God's people eagerly desire. We desire the grace of God in our lives, for without that grace, none of us would be able to be alive and stand still, and the mercy of God. Now, the grace of God is when God gives to you and I, okay, what we do not deserve, and yet he gives it to us freely. Like salvation. Now, salvation is free for us, but it cost the Father the death, burial, and the resurrection of his Son. So that grace is not a cheap grace, far, far from it. Mercy, on the other hand, is when we call upon God to hold back or to restrain what we rightly deserve because of our sins and the judgment that comes along with that sin. So here, David is calling upon God to hold back or to come to his aid, to hold back, as we shall see, the taunting of his adversaries. Notice in verse 1, sets the stage and context. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. So notice it's repeated twice for emphasis. So this was something that David was craving. This was something that David was hungry for, and he mentions it twice emphatically. Be merciful unto me, O God. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I take my refuge, until these calamities, in the plural, be overpassed. Now again, his life was on the line. King Saul had a contract on David. King Saul enlisted numerous men within his army to be in that posse, if you will, find, hunt, whatever, and to destroy David, because King Saul saw David as a threat to his kingdom and to his supposed dynasty that he would like to see. King Saul was anticipating Jonathan to be the next king after King Saul passed away. Well, that throne went to David and not to Jonathan. Saul knew this, he anticipated this, and he wanted to do everything in his power to prohibit David from becoming king. But notice, he uses the words, these calamities. And so for the Christian, there's going to be moments, times, and seasons when calamities will come into your life. The calamity may be brought on by a situation or a circumstance. It may be something related to your health, something related to your income, the loss of a job, the loss of a spouse or a child. What about slander? What about people putting words in your mouth you never uttered? What about people accusing you of acts that you never did? The Bible terms these calamities. And unfortunately, they have a very negative impact. When you read all of Psalm 57, David here is not clicking his heels. But he does give us a response on how to confront our calamities, as we shall see. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. So notice, mercy, this request for a mercy is a cry. Verse 3, he shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. I mean, the most vivid Old Testament illustration would be when Jonah was swallowed whole in the mouth of the great fish. Swallowed up to be consumed. When you swallow food, what do? It goes from your mouth down a pipe and into your stomach. You no longer see it. When you are swallowed up, your enemy tries to eliminate you from the scene. Maybe not in, as killing you, but to kill your character. Kill your testimony. Kill your witness. Kill your drive. Kill your spirit and heart. So yeah, they want to swallow you up like a piece of meat. Verse 4, my soul is among lions. Now you know what a lion does. It stalks its prey, right? It doesn't necessarily pounce immediately, but a lion will sit in the brush or in the tall grass for a long time, just eyeing out its victim, and then slowly, slowly moving inch by inch, not to alarm its meat dish out there in the field. And then it pounces. And I lie even among them that are set on fire. What does fire do? It consumes. Even the sons of men, notice, whose teeth are sharp and spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. And I think all of us in this room have been on the receiving end of that sharp sword tongue. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. And then notice further, you would think that these people would kind of let up or ease up a bit. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they have fallen themselves. See, normally your enemy is going to normally fall in the same tactics and the same trap they set for you. Eventually, they're going to fall in themselves. That's why the best course of reaction to those who are your enemies, who bring calamities, who want to eat you like your meat, just simply turn them over to God. God is a good revenger of his people. You don't need to take any vengeance in your hands. On many occasions, Jesus never gave an answer to a question posed to him. How many answers did he give Pontius Pilate? As far as we know, when Herod had him for a few moments, he didn't offer one excuse or one comment to King Herod Agrippa when Pilate pinged him to Herod. Check it out. Didn't say much at all. Hardly anything. And the only time Pilate spoke to Pilate, is when Pilate made a few comments or had a very, very direct question. Jesus didn't give the high priest too many answers. And the only answer that he gave caused the high priest to have a conniption fit. You're not obligated to give your enemies all the answers to their stupid questions. Now, what's your response? How do you respond to this? Now, as pastor, when we go over this and we give advice, you got two things to do with that advice. You can flush it down the toilet, which most people have done in 19 years here, or you can do something with it. Notice the response. Number one, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. First off, when you're dealing with your enemies, you don't stop worshiping God. You don't stop giving him praise. You don't go on a praise strike. And you don't go to church dragging your chin on the ground and saying, woe is me, no one loves me. David said twice his heart was fixed. Fixed in what? The adversary and their tongue? That's what most Christians do. No, you ought to be fixed in your God. Next, awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery harp. I will awake early. Well, your devotional life ought not to go out the window because of your adversaries. Next, I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. Well, your witness outside the four walls of your home doesn't go down the tank. Notice, your enemies are not allowed for you to halt running your race. Now, we're not saying it's painful. We're not saying that their words are sharp, as David says, sharp as teeth set on fire. We're not sidetracking that. But David here is telling you our response. Next. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Notice, this person is fixed on God. He's not fixed on his adversaries. To the point that he's no longer fixed on God. David also mentions here, verse 3, God shall send forth mercy and his truth. So not only will God give you mercy in the midst of your calamities and those who might be bringing those calamities, he's going to buttress you with his truth, his word. So you have two choices. You can wallow in anger all you want. You can sit there, brood over it, cry over it, and just come to a halt in your pursuit of sanctification. You can do that. Or you can look your enemies and the calamities in the face and say twice, my heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. I shall not be moved. Knowing God is the avenger of his people. And according to David, the same hole and the same trap and the same net they have set up for you to fall into, in God's good time, they will fall into it themselves. God is a good avenger of his people. Well, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.